There is only one thing that you can control in your life. That's your thoughts. You can choose to be happy or you can choose to be miserable. It's just that simple. Join me for the next hour on Law of Attraction Talk Radio, where I hope to inspire you to make the conscious decision to be happy. For that is the exact place where you need to be to create your own magnificent reality. Let us begin now. Hi, welcome to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm Jules from beautiful Southern California. If I told you that you could make a dramatic difference in the economy right now, today, would you do something about it? If I told you that you can make a difference worldwide with the peace, would you do something about it? If I told you that you could protect the safety and the future of the internet, would you join a coalition? Well, tonight, I am so excited to bring you Foster Gamble, because we're going to discuss ways that you can empower yourself, your family, your friends, in order to correct a situation that needs to be corrected. You know, in the law of attraction, we have to know the contrast in order to appreciate what we can create in the future. So our future is about what we can do, what we can create. Today, it's all about being proactive. In the year 2012, it's all about awakening and aligning to what we need to do to make the future phenomenal. And I think it's going to be. There's just a little correction that we need to take, and we need to thank Foster Gamble for bringing us this information through the movie Thrive and through his Thrive movement. So I want you to all sit back, relax, get comfortable, and listen to this phenomenal man who has developed and researched and created all of these answers easy, that we can have a peaceful revolution and take back what is legally and rightfully ours by divine right. We'll be right back right after these words.
In today's world, the need to know about high-quality nutritional health products is extremely important. As a matter of fact, it can save your life. BetterWayHealth.com is only a phone call away to help you get what you need to re-energize every cell of your body, especially if you are currently having medical treatment. From transfer point beta-glucan that helps the immune system, to Barlean's flax oil that is an effective body cleanse, to amazing grass products shown to have superb nutritional value, to Jupiter water ionizers that balance the alkaline and acidity in your body. BetterWayHealth.com is your one-stop shop to healthier living. So whether you have cancer or diabetes, or whether you're just interested in preventative care, visit us at BetterWayHealth.com. We are here to help you.
You know, there is nothing better than getting together with like-minded people to bring joy into your life. On our last Law of Attraction Radio Network cruise, I made so many wonderful friends. As we went out to Key West and then NASA, we captured the essence of the very best that life can offer. And you know what? That's what we're supposed to do. Enjoy life. We not only laugh during our powerful workshops, we laugh before, after, and even in between. I want to invite you on our very affordable cruise coming up on April 30th, 2012, out of the Port of Long Beach. Get more information at loaradionetwork.com. Join us and join the fun. And that is Amore. See you on board. Have you been receiving your free issue of Alms Times magazine in your email box? Every 2 weeks you'll receive this top quality magazine that has spiritual, metaphysical, and scientific information that will rock your world. Go to almstimes.com, OMTIMES.com, to sign up for your free subscription today. Okay, welcome back. You know, I want to talk to you a little bit about Foster. He is the great-great-grandson of James Gamble, the founder of Procter & Gamble. Now, Foster has grown up in the rich and affluent and wealthy and the club and everything, and he was being groomed to be a statesman and to really be a leader in this country. But something happened, and he changed. And instead of looking at the corporate world as being his sole identity, he dived into actually discovering something more important, and that was the well-being of people, not only in America, but all throughout the world. So I am so excited and so happy to be able to bring you this information. And I want you to remember this site, www.thrivemovement.com. And I want you to know that it's a nonprofit that Foster and his wife created, and that he actually spent $4.5 million of his own money, as well as he brought in other investors to create this phenomenal movie for you and I, and for the whole world. So I want you to send out this movie and tell everybody about it. But tonight I'm so thrilled because I get to ask Foster Gamble some really important questions. And I'm so tickled. So I know that you're going to love tonight's show. Stay tuned.
My name is Foster Gamble, and I have spent nearly a lifetime trying to figure out what happened that could account for the staggering agony and deprivation on this planet. I set out on a journey seeking to answer questions like, is it even possible for humans to thrive? I found a code, a pattern in nature that's been embedded in arts and icons throughout the centuries.
Yes, there have been crashed craft and bodies recovered.
But who do you tell that you were involved in a UFO incident without them looking at you like you ain't wrapped too tight?
It's not etched into the rock. It's not carved. It's burned into the atomic structure in some extraordinary way.
I believe that they're giving us a model for accessing energy in a clean, safe, limitless way that could completely revolutionize the way all people live.
Right here in this toroid, we have enough energy to transform the entire Earth. And that's not just a theoretical statement, it's literally true.
The energy is extracted from the fabric of the space around us, which means it cannot be metered. That is a direct threat to the single largest industry in the world, energy.
The suppression of UFO phenomena is hand in hand with the suppression of so-called free energy.
An elite group of people and the corporations they run have gained control over not just our energy, food supply, education, and healthcare, but over virtually every aspect of our lives.
The way the system of medicine is set up, medical education is funded by pharmaceutical companies.
We have a privately owned central bank system disguised as a government-owned system.
There is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take.
It gives them the ability to print money in a way that the insiders are protected and everybody else is drained.
No matter where you go in the world, he who controls the money controls the world.
time has come to say enough. There is another way.
If you want alternative energy, you don't ask an oil economy to produce it for you. We have to produce it.
The power of the internet enables us to share the depth of this research.
There is an extraordinary, fierce group of people who are taking this on.
We can make a real difference right now.
The simple power of truth.
We're not nearly as insignificant in our impact as we think we are.
There is a force that's more powerful, and that's the power of the people.
We can create a world where people can thrive.
Thrive. What on earth will it take? Be a part of the conversation. Be a part of the solution.
Welcome, Foster, to Law of Attraction Talk Radio. I'm thrilled that you could be with me today.
Well, thank you, Jules. It's a pleasure to be on with you.
Listen, your grandfather, your great-great-grandfather James, founded Procter & Gamble, and you grew up in wealth and luxury. But what made you look beyond all of this comfort to get into the well-being of people all around the world?
Well, when I graduated from college, I had been a filmmaker in college, and it was kind of assumed that I would go on to Hollywood and make feature films. But I realized in my heart of hearts that I had nothing to say at that point that was really worth all the money and time and everything that it takes to make a feature film. And at the same time, I was looking around me in the world and seeing that we were invading Cambodia for no apparent reason that I could understand. And we were destroying the environment. We were at the risk of nuclear holocaust. And I came to the realization that, you know, the so-called adults either don't know what they're doing or they're doing something that I don't like. It's not healthy for us and for the planet. So at that same time, I learned that I was going to inherit some money from my grandparents. Not a lot of money, but enough that I could make some choices about what I wanted to do with my life on a daily basis and not go around complaining about my job. So I really had to do some soul searching and think, okay, well, what am I here for? What is my life about? And I had this sense, even then, I had a very strong intuition that there was going to be a global information delivery system. I had not any clue of the internet, but I thought it would be probably more like satellite TV or something like that. And so I figured that would be built by people who were very tech savvy and interested in that kind of engineering. My interest was more in the well-being of human beings and the planet. So I decided to dedicate my time, really my life, to finding out what was in the way of our thriving. And I told my friends even then, if I found a coherent story to what's in the way and viable ways out, that's the film that I would make. I just didn't know it was going to take 40 years to do it. But this is finally that film.
Oh, it's wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. What I really love about this film is that you bring the problem to light. You let everyone know, but it doesn't stop there. You actually give the solutions, and thank God for that.
Well, I've been very frustrated with other films that were of huge value in terms of informing me of the problems. But just when I was getting motivated to do something about it, the credits would start to roll, and it would say, change your light bulb and write your congressperson. And I would be thinking, well, you know, that's not going to do it. So Kimberly and I were both really committed to not putting this film out until we had viable solutions, viable strategies, things that people could do in their daily lives that were even more coherent and powerful than the problems that we're facing.
So after you made this film and it became public and everybody's getting it, has it caused you any problems as far as making enemies, or did you lose some friends over it? I mean, considering where you came up from.
Well, I'm happy to say it's been just the opposite.
Good.
We've had a few little harassments. We had I think we were hacked and our script was taken and put up on the internet. But if someone's going to cause us a problem, putting the script on the internet is, it's actually like some free promotion or something like that. And my Facebook page was mysteriously taken down for a few days, but they've apologized and put it back up. And otherwise, we've had no problems to this point. And quite the contrary, we were expecting a lot of controversy over the material in the film. And that's one reason why we spent so much time hiring independent sources to fact check everything and really put it together into a coherent story. And people are simply not arguing about the fact. You know, a little correction here and there, which we really value. But fundamentally, people are going, oh, okay, I finally get it. So now what can I do about it? And also in relation to my family, I would say the film coming out has made everything a lot easier. Because I think as I would try to talk about some of these subjects, you know, of UFOs or conspiracies or free energy and so forth, in little casual social conversations over the years, I think people have begun to wonder whether or not Foster was losing it. But now that they could just simply spend a couple of hours and get how all the dots are tied together in a coherent story, family members are coming up to me and thanking me and saying, okay, now I get what you were talking about, and asking, okay, well, if you knew the financial collapse was coming in 2008, which I warned them about, then, you know, what else do you know and based on what information? And I'm also happy to say that a member of the Rothschild family and a member of the Rockefeller family in the youngest generation have actually reached out to me to get together to start having constructive conversations about how we can turn these legacies.
Oh, how fabulous. That is the best news I have heard.
Yeah, it's very exciting.
Oh, my goodness. So have talks started happening yet?
They haven't yet, but we are planning them. And they have acknowledged and that, yes, indeed, these things did happen in their families and that it wasn't them, that they feel ashamed about them, but haven't known necessarily what they could do to alter the course of what's happening with the money of those major cartels. So I'm very excited about having these type of conversations. And who knows, maybe we'll be able to gather a think tank of people like this and then live stream that or edit it down, put it on the internet so that everybody can participate.
Oh, this is fantastic news. Boy, this really gives me hope. Because I was thinking about all of the kids of the Rothschilds and all of the banking people. You know, it seems like they're going to suffer because of what their ancestors did. So it's kind of like you coming out. And basically you're coming up from a great big corporation as well. And so will that affect Procter & Gamble?
Well, first of all, I want to make a distinction between a single family company or a company that is associated with a single family like Procter & Gamble. And, you know, I'm sixth generation. So basically the money has been tremendously diluted and the Gambles have virtually no influence stock-wise in the company. The company is hesitant to have the Gambles come out and say they're ashamed of what's going on in the company. So we've been able to have some leverage to help persuade them to clean up pollution, to stop testing on animals and things like that. In the Rockefeller and Rothschild situation, it's a very different thing, where it's this massive global cartel of thousands and thousands of corporations that really is fundamentally based in the whole banking scam. So it's quite a different operation. But I have had the privilege to know several members of the Rockefeller family who have been very, you know, wonderful people. And I really want to make the distinction that when I talk about the actions of certain members of the family or the Rockefeller corporate cartel, I'm not wanting to indict any particular individual if I don't do that specifically. Because just as with me, I'm not responsible for what my family's ancestors did generations ago, but I have the opportunity to try to change some things. And I am encouraging the members in the more recent generations of these other families to also just take a look and see how can you use your influence to try to make those vast money machines, you know, work in the interest of people all over the planet rather than just in consolidating wealth and power.
So let's go step by step here, because I thought the most fascinating, well, ETs, UFOs is fascinating to me, but you talked about free energy, and that's something that people don't absolutely realize. But the basis behind all of these blockages from going forward is about money. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
So a lot of these people who were in the last century were disgraced, killed, beaten, discouraged. We still don't have access to free energy. Is that going to happen? Will we finally get that?
Well, I'm confident that it will, and it's one of the most exciting developments on the planet to me. And I think we will, first of all, because through the internet and through films like Thrive and From Fire to Ice and Race to Zero Point, a few other films in that area, people by the hundreds of thousands are waking up to this possibility. And just like with Occupy, where lots of people are standing up, and they may not understand the whole scene, but they're saying no more. You know, this is, you can't keep this from us anymore. The same thing is starting to happen with free energy. And first of all, there are laboratories all over the world, as Brian O'Leary, the astronaut, said in our film, because he'd visited many of them. So they can't be suppressed in all countries. They're being suppressed more in this country than in a lot of others. But it's starting to just sneak up like plants between the cracks in concrete all over the place. And also, the single strongest response that we've been getting specifically to Thrive the movie is a hugely positive response to free energy. I'm getting papers from scientists all over the world who are working on the theory. I'm getting proposals from inventors who want to collaborate and get help in completing their inventions. And I'm getting significant interest from wealthy people who are either as philanthropists or investors want to do what they can do to actually get this technology out. And it's not something that can or should be done lightly or quickly. It's a serious project to find the best inventors to make sure that they have the funds they need to complete what they're doing, to have the security that they need to be safe in their labs, and to have the a legal defense fund available if frivolous lawsuits get filed against them, which often happens, so that they really have the safety and protection and in great numbers to bring this possibility out to the world. The time has come.
Wow, that's terrific. That's terrific. So I want to ask you about the UFOs, ETs. Why has there been a cover-up? What is the purpose for covering up all of this information surrounding them? You have just a phenomenal way of looking at it through the crop circles and the messages and the contacts that they've already provided us.
Well, the evidence that they are here is overwhelming, and it's not just some farmer out in his field with a story. It's over 500 recorded firsthand reports from high-level government and military people, as well as police officers and regular citizens. And in the beginning, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, the reason that was given was more they didn't want to cause panic amongst the population. Well, we're already in a situation with global economic collapse, potential of nuclear holocaust, and so forth. So the public has got plenty of stuff to freak out about if they were going to be freaked out. And as far as I can tell from my research, the main reason now is that if the governments were to acknowledge the presence of craft from outside of our solar system, then what it does is prove the fact that these beings are somehow accessing a technology that we don't have. And so then people are going to be asking by the millions, what is that technology and how can we get access to it? And I believe from my research that the U.S. government already has access to these free energy devices because they've confiscated numerous ones in addition to the plans and so forth from inventors. But potentially also, according to some high-level reports, they've also retrieved crash craft and so forth and back-engineered some of the technology that is coming from more advanced civilizations than we who are visiting us. So I think one of the main reasons they want to keep it secret is to make sure that they're controlling that that technology so that it can't be used against them. And secondly, so that they can keep control over the oil, coal, gas, and nuclear industry rather than give people access to clean, free energy. Because as I outline in the movie, there's a strong agenda to control people's lives across the planet. And if all of a sudden everyone has access to unlimited energy, people are going to be a lot harder to control.
I see. So it is about the governments losing control.
Yes, I think it always comes down to do we allow people to decentralize energy and control and be in charge of their own lives and interact voluntarily, or is there a small cartel who are trying to control everyone else? And for me, the evidence is overwhelming that the latter is the case. And yet it's possible now, as more and more people are getting informed, to withdraw our support from their institutions, from the major banks, from the major media, from the military, from the major international corporations who are trying to affect a control system over everyone else's lives. And the power of a pyramid comes from the base, not from the capstone at the top. So as people withdraw their support, that pyramid comes tumbling down and, in my view, becomes a torus, a true society of voluntary exchange and absolute freedom, you know, true respect for human rights, so that people can begin building their own systems that are not centrally controlled. And we can end up with a planet where everyone actually is free to thrive.
Oh, boy, that's great. But now that you brought up the banking system, and what we can do is to take matters into our own hands, which is very important, I want to make sure that people understand, and they will by watching your movie, that the bailouts were provided by we the people, the taxpayers, gave our money to them. And they should have actually forgived the mortgages because we were paying for it. But instead, the foreclosures continued. And now they are trying to rent back our homes that they took from us, so that they can triple off of the money that started with us. Is that what is happening right now?
Yeah, it's plainly and simply the greatest heist in human history. It's the greatest illegal transfer of wealth from vast majority of people to a very small amount of people that has ever happened on our planet. And it's simply just a huge scam that is outlined in the movie Thrive, where the government and the private bankers back in 1913 went into collusion secretly. And the bankers said, you give us control over the money, and then we'll print money for you whenever you need it, so that you don't have to lose your popularity as a politician when you want to go to war, or when you want to give subsidies to your crony corporations or something like that. So they created the Federal Reserve at the same time that they created the IRS. So the bankers and the politicians got together and said, we'll do this deal. We won't tell people what it really is. And so the government will get the political power. The bankers will get the financial power. But somehow, who's going to pay for this whole deal? I know. We'll take some of the money that people are working hard for. We'll call it the income tax. And we'll pay most of that to you, the bankers, as interest on this fake money that you're creating, and most of the rest of it to you, the politicians, so that you can go make your wars. So that's the situation that we're in, and now it's finally gotten so egregious that people are waking up, and you can see it with the Occupy movement. I mean, most people don't fully understand yet how it works, but they know that the vast number of people are getting screwed, and they're not going to put up with it anymore. So people are gathering together and figuring out how this works. And a little known piece of information that I've only come across recently is that the charter for the Federal Reserve, which was signed by Woodrow Wilson in 1913, I guess 1912 actually, went into effect in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act, the charter for that was 100 years. So that actually is coming due in 2013, in August. So the bankers well know this. So they want to have their plan in place before they have to ask Congress and the public for approval of another 100 years of the Federal Reserve. And the Federal Reserve is the core of the central bank. So I believe that one of the reasons why the perpetrators of the global domination agenda are trying to get everything in place this year in 2012 is so that they don't have the public voting or expressing their opinions to the Congress on whether or not to renew that charter in 2013.
Okay, so that's a good place here, because Ron Paul is the only candidate I know right now who is talking about abolishing the Federal Reserve. And if you may have noticed, the media is basically ignoring him, and I think they're very fearful of this. Does that tie in?
It certainly does. Ron Paul's a very interesting guy. He's one of the few politicians that I have studied who seems to be operating with integrity and consistency throughout his career. He is the only one of the current presidential candidates who has come out for auditing and shutting down the Federal Reserve. Dennis Kucinich, former presidential candidate and a congressman from Ohio, has now also come out in favor of shutting down the Federal Reserve. And I'm not a big fan of politics myself. As I explained somewhat in the movie and in much greater depth on the website, I propose a three-phase plan for phasing out the nation state as our rulers in favor of individual freedom, rules but not rulers. But in the meantime, in transition, we need to be very careful that people are taken care of and that the system is wound down intentionally and carefully in the process. So someone asked me the other day, well, you know, who would you vote for president? And currently, I don't know if I would vote, but my suspicion is that they, the powers that be, will not allow Ron Paul to get the Republican nomination one way or another, because they are so afraid of what he would do with the economic system. But he has tremendous popularity. He just finished second in New Hampshire, and CNN is beginning to cover him as a very real candidate now. So my answer to the question of who I would vote for is I would love to see an independent party where Dennis Kucinich and Ron Paul get together. And frankly, I don't care who plays what role. But in our proposal, our transition, it really accesses the best of the core morality of both the left and the right, and then eventually transcends both. And I think Dennis Kucinich has a track record of being someone that is dedicated to peace and would know a lot about how to take care of those most disenfranchised by our corrupt system as we're transitioning to shrinking government. And Ron Paul is the major proponent in the political world today for actually shrinking the government and getting rid of the Federal Reserve. So they're both people who I think would ultimately be willing to put themselves out of business as political rulers over other people.
So this coming election, what can we do? Do we not participate? Do we throw up our hands? Do we vote out every incumbent? What do we do? What is your recommendation?
Well, my major recommendation to people is study the proposals of the Thrive movement, which are laid out briefly, this three-stage process in the movie, and in much greater depth on the website. And to the degree to which you believe in any particular parts of it, then demand those parts from the politicians that you're interested in. If you find a politician that you think has integrity, well, first of all, let me know. And secondly, then make sure that they're willing to audit and probably end the Federal Reserve. Make sure that they're willing to repeal this National Defense Authorization Act, which just got signed into law by President Obama while everybody was out drinking on New Year's Eve, which is the single scariest piece of legislation in my lifetime that has actually authorized the U.S. military to detain without prior cause, to torture, to disappear, and even to kill anybody suspected of terrorism without even a right to defend themselves. And terrorism is now getting defined as dissenting from the government plan or even protesting. They've been advising police officers to detain people who are caught with copies of the Constitution in their car. I mean, it's getting this bad. So I recommend that people find out what would you really stand for in a politician that you believed in, and then require that of anyone that you would vote for.
But there's such a high level of corruption in the government right now. It's like, who do you believe? How are we going to move forward? How?
Well, this is the trickiest part of all to me. It's been such an irony for me because they, as far out as some of the topics are that we discussed in Thrive, where we're talking about ETs and free energy and these global conspiracies and so forth, the most challenging part of all I've found to communicate to people is fundamental liberty. I mean, people agree universally, in my experience, and I've talked to a lot of people about this, that they don't want to be violated against their will. They don't want to be hurt. They don't want to have their stuff taken. However, then they turn right around and say, well, democracy is our shining light on the hill. And if we take a closer look at democracy, democracy is fundamentally majority rules. So what happens in a lynch mob where there's only one person dissenting from the majority rules, but they're swinging by the end of a rope? I mean, it's a blatant example, but it brings up the key issue, which is primary, majority rules or individual rights. And if individual rights are primary, where you shouldn't be able to take someone else's stuff, if they're not willing to give it to you, then what is mandatory taxation? And if our government is based on turning around and taking a certain amount of your income, which it wasn't before 1913, if a few people have the right to demand a certain amount of your income, and if you don't give it to them, they will come to your door with guns and take you away. And if you resist, they will shoot you. This is the conversation people aren't having. So our fundamental organizational system for our so-called democracy is based on violating someone's individual rights, taking their money without their permission. So we need to reinspect that system, because frankly, when I think if we look back 100 years, 200 years, a million years from now, humanity on planet Earth will not have made it through this phase if we don't base our society going forward on the absolute non-violation of individual rights. Because as soon as you do, you create a nation state with privilege to a few, and that always throughout history builds to getting monopoly over money and monopoly over military, and then they start taking over other people and taking over their own people. And in the 20th century alone, there were over 200 million deaths created by the nation state, by the very presence of the nation state, and over half of those were deaths on the nation state's own people. So we need to wake up and realize we are in a real dilemma, and with our current technologies, we could destroy life on Earth as we know it because we're selling ourselves out into a political system based on counterfeit and theft instead of figuring out, okay, how do we self-govern? What are the rules that are based only on protecting individual rights? And how can we have those rules create security and create justice and create voluntary educational systems where everyone actually is free and those freedoms are safeguarded?
Wow. Oh, my. Oh, my. This is getting serious here.
Well, this is the discussion that's starting to happen. I've been privileged to visit a few major screenings recently of the Thrive movie, where they asked me to come to be part of a solutions-oriented discussion after. And as I mentioned before, the conversation is not about, well, is the Federal Reserve really federal, or is there an agenda that, you know, to take over our lives? It's more like, okay, now that we get it, what can we do about it? And one of the main things that we can do about it is have this conversation about liberty. So we're beginning to have this on the internet and in groups all over the place, and I couldn't be happier. It's a challenging conversation, but it, for me, after decades of research in looking at what's it going to take for humanity to not only survive but to actually flourish on a healthy planet, this is the single most important conversation I know to have.
Oh, that's wonderful. So you, on your website, thrivemovement.com, you give a whole bunch of solutions that we can start taking individually. And to me, I feel very empowered by these solutions that I can do them. So give me the top three solutions that we can do right now, that probably the most important ones.
Well, the most important one, I think, is get yourself informed. Use Thrive, use the website, use the resources that we recommend if you want to go deeper into any of the subjects. But keep getting yourself informed at least until you reach a critical threshold where you feel like you have a sense of what's actually going on in the world. And then speak up to other people about it. And we've found that Thrive makes this a lot easier. Rather than try to tell someone in some brief social conversation that there's an agenda to dominate the world, or there's free energy, or ETs are visiting, or something like that, and you know the strange looks you'll get after. Instead, hand them a copy of Thrive and say, I saw this, it deeply impacted me, take a look at it if you're interested, and then let's talk. And there are people doing this by the hundreds of thousands all over the planet right now. So then connect with other people and begin to take the action that you can do simply and easily in your daily life that don't take a lot of time or money. Things like moving your money from the big, what we call tapeworm banks, into your local banks where it actually will stay in and support your community. You know, support organic, non-GMO farming because it's poisoning us. Make sure that you join a coalition to keep the internet fair and open, because that's what's allowing us to get informed beyond what we're going to find out from the corporate media, and also to organize at the grassroots level to make the major shifts. You know, join a coalition to audit and end the Federal Reserve and, you know, make your voice heard. Participate in campaign finance reform so that we have to recognize that corporations are not people, and that corporations shouldn't be able to bribe politicians to do their bidding when they get into office. And I would say that the last couple that I would mention is, one, find out about free energy and write into us if you want to participate. On our website, we've got what we call Critical Mass Action, where you can sign up to participate in major actions when we have enough people that we're sure it's going to be really effective. And we've got one for free energy where you can sign up to either show up for large protests in front of the patent office or something like that, or to contribute money or expertise to getting the technology out. And there you'll find also in Critical Mass Actions, we have them on a number of other topics that you can participate in when you know there's going to be a large group of people who are going to show up in a way that's going to get media attention, that's going to get the attention of the politicians and the corporations to actually turn the direction of where we're going.
So this is not a time to put your head in the sand and hope it's going to get better. This is a time that each one of us need to take action.
Yeah. Each person will find a different calling, and what we have to offer is needed. Each person's contribution is needed. And at the same time, it's validating to understand that the American Revolution was basically fought by 5 to 6% of the population. It doesn't mean everyone has to get convinced of this in order to move, but those who are inspired to move, I highly recommend that you find the area where your activities can be most leveraged. And in order to do that, this is what I've been sharing with these solutions groups that are being formed in different cities and countries around the world. I recommend that you do an orientation of your own skill set by doing this. Look into what we call the 12 sectors of human endeavor that are on the website and find out, what's your expertise and passion? Is it education? Is it the media? Is it arts? Is it economics? Is it health or science? And then, so that's one coordinate. And then find the other coordinate, which is, what is the level of engagement that you're most drawn to? And we identify three primary levels of engagement. One is immediate needs. You know, for Doctors Without Borders to take health care to Africa where they don't have it and help people, or to go to a soup kitchen and pass food out. That's meeting the immediate needs. The second level is systemic change. For people who are really interested in how the larger political and economic media systems are working and want to transform those, you can get engaged at this intermediate systemic level. And then a lot of people are more and more drawn toward the basic consciousness shift. And this is perhaps the most powerful level of all, because every action that we take is engendered by our worldview. So if you can shift something in the worldview, then that's going to affect all the actions that that person or organization takes. So find which level of those, the immediate needs, systemic change, or consciousness shift, you're most interested in, then apply that in the sector of your interest, meanwhile relaxing and knowing that the other areas are also going to be handled by people who are passionate about and really good at those things. You don't have to do it all.
Isn't that nice? Isn't that nice? You know, and again, very hopeful. We can have a very peaceful revolution.
Exactly. It needs to be that way. We are in World War III, make no mistake, but it's primarily not a violent one. The powers that be learned that if they do that, it gets too much blowback too quickly. So this World War III, this takeover is economic. And almost nobody will argue with that anymore, with the number of people that are homeless and jobless and families falling apart, just as billions of lives being destroyed by this economic scam. It's not that we don't have enough food or water or resources or our creativity to create the job. It's that we need to expose and disappear, obsolete this scam and the people who are perpetrating it. But it needs to be nonviolent, and it needs to be decentralized, because if people go out and try to be violent about this, it's only going to justify for the media the police state crackdown that they're planning on. And the powers that be do have most of the media, most of the military, and most of the money right now. What we have is the vast majority of the people on the planet who are interested in love, in truth, in taking care of one each other, and in fairness. So as it's not only the 99%, it's the 99.999% of people who are not consciously perpetrating this agenda. As those people wake up and take action nonviolently, the other systems will come down like a house of cards. And meanwhile, we can be creating, we are already creating the healthy food alternatives, the healthy medical alternatives, the healthy economic alternatives, even the healthy energy alternatives and self-governance alternatives that our descendants, generations from now, will look back and go, oh my goodness, you know, thank goodness that they woke up and saw this scam, saw this tyranny, and actually opened up the world to be free and healthy for everyone.
Oh, wow. How wonderful. And here it is, 2012, the year of alignment, the year of awakening. Here we are. Thank you, Foster Gamble. Oh, my goodness. I've said this to a lot of people, but I've never meant it as much as I mean it now. You are a blessing to this world. Thank you, thank you, thank you for getting this message out. And I want to again send everybody to thrivemovement.com. Get the information. Take action. And Foster, are you going to be doing another film? What's your next step in this?
Well, currently we're not contemplating another film, but we are contemplating ongoing media. We've got the fundamental message out that we want to present, and neither Kimberly nor I, Kimberly, my wife, was the producer and director of the film and also appears in it. We both feel like we just gave birth to an elephant, and we're not looking to get pregnant anytime soon. However, we will be using this incredible global information delivery system which exists to get messages out and to film the think tank, the solutions think tanks that we're going to be creating, so that we can really help to engage anyone in the world who's interested in a very proactive, interactive, creative, and solutions-oriented conversation to turn this around as quickly as we can. And I am so excited by the rate at which it's happening. With what we're seeing with Occupy, and now with Anonymous coming out and these computer wizards who are using these skills to protect free speech. And they've told the Occupy movement that they've got their back. And they've told the Thrive movement that they've got our back. You know, there is a global coalition of people who really care that is waking up. And it's absolutely unprecedented throughout history. And in my opinion, it's absolutely unstoppable, too. And we wake up feeling actually safer and more optimistic each morning now than we have in the last 15 years.
Oh, fabulous. So we send people to get your movie or to watch it on your site for $5. What a deal. I mean, it's well worth it. But they need to keep on coming back so they can see the expansion from the Thrive Movement. It is a movement that we've got to keep on checking back with. It's not like seeing it once a year. We've got to come back all the time.
I appreciate you bringing that up, Jules, because this is one of the most important points of all. We didn't have any interest in just putting out a show or just putting out a bunch of information. We wanted to help catalyze, help facilitate this whole global emergence that is happening anyway. And so we did our best to collect over a period of 8 years the best tools and information that we could to help people in the ongoing movement. And we have no interest in trying to centralize control over some sort of vast global organization. Quite the opposite. There's a tremendous amount. I mean, we get hundreds of letters and messages a day now of people, of support and people wondering how they can help and so forth. And we just keep turning that back out, saying use our website, connect with one another, create the most effective thing you know to do with your own talents, your own community, and then let us know what that is. And we'll use our website to share best practices, what people are learning, to connect movements all over the world so that it's really a decentralized and self-creating movement that we're empowering.
Brilliant, brilliant, brilliant. Oh, this is fabulous. Again, I'm thrilled. Thank you so much for taking the time and coming on. And I hope when you have other information that you want to get out that you'll consider coming back on my show. I would love to get it out to all of the people who do the Law of Attraction.
Well, I really want to acknowledge you, Jules, for having this type of show, because this is exactly the type of media that is transforming our planet right now. People who are willing to stand up and say, I'm going to create independent media that's actually going to be about the truth rather than just pleasing advertisers or something like that. And I want to say one more thing about the Law of Attraction, because I've spent a lot of my life studying physics and cosmic geometry, and this whole toroidal shape that we base so much of the movie on, which is the fundamental dance that energy does in the universe at every single scale, it defines the Law of Attraction, because from the center, the energy goes out, it interacts with the universe, is changed by it, and ultimately comes back to the center again. So when you communicate out into the world, when you put a prayer out into the world, when you affirm something out into the world, you are literally sending a message out in that toroidal dynamic that not only touches every other torus in its center, but ultimately gathers the energy from the universe and brings it back to you and makes it available to you in a way that then you can take action on more effectively. The two have to go together. There's this metaphysical component, which is absolutely real, but then it also needs to get manifested by putting, you know, our feet on the earth, connecting with one another, and actually making it happen.
Mm. Well said. All right. I love it. Thank you for confirming everything. This is great. Thank you so much. And we are all out of time, but thank you so much again. It has been an absolute thrill.
You are welcome, Jules. Thanks for having me on.
Thank you. And to all my wonderful listeners, thank you. We'll talk to you next week. And thanks again, Foster. Bye-bye, everyone.
Goodbye.
As we close another show, it is my sincerest wish that you have a wonderful week ahead. Remember, through you, the world changes to reflect your happiness. If you'd like to comment on today's show, please send me an email to jules@loaradionetwork.com.